We are WNST, AM 1570, Tass of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting ready for some football, for some Monday Night Football. But there was baseball over the weekend. I went to see Yacht Rock Review. My big thanks to the soundstage, Nevermore Hall, new people in the old Ram's Head. And my wife and I got to go downtown and fight for parking. We found a great parking spot, so we felt great about it. And I got down there, and they had a pickle festival, first things first. So there was people everywhere. A lot of Aaron Judge jerseys, not as many Mandel and Babe Ruth jerseys as you may think. But baseball was on my brain a little bit over the weekend. It was a football weekend. I did a lot of rock and roll last week. If you follow me out on social media, you know that I ran around the West Coast with my wife playing the fool. This is what I do when I get thrown out by Chad Steele and Greg Bader, Luke. I have to make my own fun and go chase the Who around the Hollywood Bowl and go to the Celebrity Theater and see the ghost of Meatloaf and stuff like that. But there was a baseball thing here. And there were Yankees jerseys everywhere. And I watched football all day Sunday. I flew a red eye home out of Phoenix on. I got home at 5:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. Took the power nap. Got up at 11 o'clock. Pot of coffee. And it was just wall to wall. Joe Flacco and the Packers. By the way, those Browns jerseys, they look good. Like, that's the first thing I've seen the Browns ever wear that I'm like, that looks okay. That's like a modern thing, but it was a throwback day for the Buccaneers, right? And the and throwback for Patriot Pat, right? And I don't want, I mean, the Titans need to throw up. They're so horrible. I hope they never put the Oiler jersey on again, although I'll be wearing my Derrick Henry Oiler jersey tonight. Football's great, and when it mixes with baseball this time of year, it's a whole lot more fun when we're playing well. But I know this Rodgers thing, dude, it's been all over my timeline. It's a biblical run for 100 innings of a pitcher in a nondescript year where nothing matters for the Orioles. It's all grapefruit at this point. But my God, I mean, football and the Yankees in town and the Grand Slam. We don't want to talk about that. Then it becomes spring training. But it was a good weekend on the couch, right?
Yeah, it was. And you mentioned Trevor Rodgers. I mean, I wrote about it. I guess it was Saturday morning at BaltimorePositive.com. It's something that I would even include you and me in this when I make this statement. We haven't appreciated what Trevor Rodgers has done enough. I mean, he's over 100 innings now, and I get it.
This
That's
is for man Fernando
not 200,
Mania. This is
but
crazy, these stats,
he
right?
has a 1.35 ERA.
Yeah.
I mean, for over half a season now, like if he had been their number two, number three, their number five starter coming out of opening out of opening day, you know, if he had pitched the home opener rather than Cade Povich, back in what, early April at that point in time, he might have started the All-Star game. I mean, that's how impressive this has been, and it's just been something that because the team has been so disappointing, because of everything that's gone wrong, because of the fact that, let's face it, he made his season debut. If you recall, it was the nightcap of that twin bill at Fenway Park Memorial Day weekend. They had in the first game of that doubleheader, they had fallen to a season worst 18 games under 500. The season was over. I mean, it was over. Brandon Hyde had been fired the weekend before. But for Trevor Rodgers to arrive at that point, and it's funny because even with that start, he got sent back down, if you recall, and wasn't back up for another 3 weeks.
There was nothing to give anybody any confidence for this,
Yeah,
right?
for
I
him
mean,
to,
sort of this Koufax run he's on.
I mean, it's one of those things where you look at it and say, look, is he going to have a 1.5 ERA next year? No, of course
I hope
not.
so.
But everything about the peripherals, though, suggest he
This
still has a
isn't
chance to be.
fluky, right?
I mean, it's fluky in the sense that it's a 1.35, but like you look at the batting average on balls in play. Yes, he's had some good fortune. You look at FIP, which is a number that's to eliminate, you know, the effect of batted balls and defense and all that. It's still an ERA in the mid twos, right? Or not an ERA, but a FIP in the mid twos, where you'd say, all right, even if you take away the fact that, or you acknowledge, not take away, because it's part of the game. But even if you acknowledge that there's been some good fortune mixed in there, he's still been elite. he's still been excellent. This is a guy that at this point in time, and I, you know me, I'm not Mr. Hot Take. A month ago I was skeptical about making a statement like this.
Well, I'm old enough to have seen Jeff Ballard. I've seen guys put this in a can for 6 months, right?
Yeah, but even then, I mean, I think back to Chris Waters, right? I mean, that was like 20 years ago. He had a couple amazing starts to kind of, and then he turned back into a
Well, this guy
pumpkin.
had
But
done it before in Florida, right? I mean,
sure.
that was part of what the belief system that Elias and Mydell and all of them had to make that deal last year was we think we can get that back, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thought. I mean, even if you couldn't get that back, and when we say that, we mean what he was in 2021, which was second in rookie of the year. He was an all-star, albeit for a bad Marlins team. But you're looking at it and saying, all right, and that was always the thought. The thought was, Kyle Stowers, we don't really have a place for him right now. It hasn't worked out right now. And look, that's still not going to be something that I ignore in terms of why couldn't Kyle Stowers find success more quickly in Baltimore. But the thought was, you're going to get someone who's going to help your rotation. It was a disaster last year. We all know that. Back in May and June, that trade looked like, you might view it through a lens similar to the Glenn Davis trade, in terms of how that turned out for the Orioles. But when you look at the landscape of the American League right now, of course, Scooble's winning the Cy Young Award, as he should. And of course, Garrett Crochet's had a fantastic year, and Hunter Brown for the Astros has had an outstanding year. Those would still be my top three for Cy Young. But beyond those top three, I think you absolutely can make an argument for Trevor Rogers to show up on ballots fourth or fifth. I mean, I think he's going to get down ballot votes. In fact, I can almost say with certainty that he's going to, if you kind of catch my drift, interacting with people in Major League Baseball who vote on such things. He's going to get down ballot votes, and he deserves it because you're talking about, yes, we understand, a smaller sample. That's why I'm not saying he's the Cy Young Award winner, because he hasn't done it for 200 innings or 32 starts, but he's pitched enough, and he's pitched enough at an incredibly high elite level where you say, man, this has been really, really impressive. I mean, this is a stat. It's not the end all be all for pitchers, but wins above replacement, WAR. We tend to talk about it more in terms of position players, but Baseball Reference, Trevor Rogers is third in the American League in WAR for pitchers. The only ones who are considered more valuable with that metric have been Tarek Skubal and Hunter Brown of the Astros. I mean, that speaks to what kind of company he's in right now. So, for all the disappointment, for as miserable as 2025 has been, for as many questions as they still have in terms of what Mike Elias is going to do in terms of hiring a manager, bringing in a general manager, right? Because Mike Elias is, quote, president of baseball operations. For all the work they have to do with their bullpen, all of that, the offense, which, I'll get to in a minute, because I want to share a stat for you. But with what Trevor Rogers has done, and what Kyle Bradish did once again on
Yeah,
Sunday.
I just
Oh,
pulled Bradish's last five starts up,
he's
and
been
it's,
fantastic. This isn't like, oh, he looks, oh, he's been healthy, and oh, he's gotten some innings under his belt.
I would
He's
have
been
taken this in
fantastic.
September of 2023 straight away. I'd
Been
look at these
fantastic.
stats and say, this is where he was before,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. And honestly, Nestor, when you start to drill down with some of the peripherals and how he's pitching, you could actually make the argument that he's actually been better. I mean, again, it's five starts. Let's not get crazy. But the point is, you're talking about a very legitimate, and I don't want to say 1-2, because to me, that lets Mike Elias and the organization off the hook in terms of like what they still need to go out and get, which is still very much a legitimate playoff caliber starting pitcher. You know me, I'm not big into the, oh, is he a one or a two? Is he a two or a three? Point is, someone that fits into that range somewhere. But I'd prefer it not to be a three. I'd prefer it to be a one or a two. But the point is, you're starting to see this crystallize with the caveat that health is a question for any pitcher at any given point, right? We know that. Corbin Burns was a great example of that. Gerrit Cole going into this year was a great example of that. Guys that had been durable and suddenly they're getting Tommy John surgery. So you never truly know. That's why you do need depth, of course. But in terms of just on paper, as you're trying to project out what your rotation can look like next year, I feel very good about Trevor Rogers and Kyle Bradish being two of the three guys that you would look at for a potential postseason rotation. Now, that
One of them
other
can't
guy,
be Grayson Rodriguez.
no, and
Okay.
I'm not going to say that. And look, Grayson Rodriguez is up, is when you're planning everything, he's off to the side here. No, you're not getting rid of him. No, that doesn't mean that if he is healthy, he's not in the rotation, because he would be, of course, and that would be a good problem to have. But you can't plan on that. So you have Grayson Rodriguez off to the side. And look, it could turn out, and this is going to be interesting and probably more of an interesting conversation for spring training, considering Grayson Rodriguez hasn't pitched in over a year. Even if he is healthy, what is his innings limit going to be? Or do you have a conversation at some point to say, maybe he needs to be a reliever? Maybe that's something that could keep him healthy. I don't know. Again, spitballing. Point is, you can't plan on him to be your number one, your number two, or your number three. So, but because of how Rodgers has looked, because of how Bradish is looking, assuming, they're each going to make what, one more start here to conclude 2025, we assume.
And by the way, I just
I
want to
feel
say this on Bradish's starts, because I'm looking at this because some people aren't paying attention.
he's
They'd
been
say, well, it's
great.
garbage time. Yeah, it's garbage time in Pittsburgh and Chicago and the South Side of Chicago. Yankees, Red Sox, Padres.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are competitive bait. Not all of them,
And
but over the body of the work, it feels like garbage time, because maybe you're not watching Melvin Mora and Boog Pow squirt people like I am on my social media thread, and you're not on every pitch or whatever, because you're betting on football, or you're watching college football, or hey, the Terps are good and the Terps have a quarterback. We have no oxygen for any of that with Monday Night Football and black jerseys and Matt Ibike's injury and just all of that goes on. But this has been a competitive streak for all of them to be judged, as you and I pointed out a month ago, to say, what's Holiday doing in garbage time? What's Gunnar doing in garbage? Who's raking? Who's performing well? And to have top rotation guys performing well, I don't know. You'd rather have the bats come to life. You and I've talked about the
Oh, it's not an
somnolence of
either
their
or.
bats, but I would agree. But having this is a good circumstance for the Orioles. Good news for the Orioles.
Yeah, and let's be clear, and this is where I'll apologize even a little bit. Tyler Wells has been pretty good as well, right? I
Well, I
mean,
was
maybe,
going to throw him into the
yeah.
mix too, because he's
So,
the antithesis of Grayson Rodriguez. He's upright right now, right?
well, in the present now he's had durability concerns the last, even going back a couple years ago,
But could he
remember?
make 26 starts next year and be the next Dean Kramer in that and pitch to a four?
He could, or he could be a meaningful part of their bullpen next year. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, spring training, you've got an off season. I mean, we saw two winters ago, even in the winter, health can creep up as it did for Kyle Bradish. But I would say when you look at especially the first two, but also throw Wells in there because I want to give him a proper nod because he's pitched well. I mean, he's has an ERA just over two in his first three starts. It hasn't been the oh my gosh, this is amazing swing and miss stuff like Kyle Bradish continues to show. Or in the case of Trevor Rogers, he's now done it for well over half a season. But you're starting to look at this rotation and you're saying, hey, they still need to go out and get a very legitimate starting pitcher. Let's not, I'm not going to say they don't, but 3 months ago, Nestor, you were kind of looking at this rotation and it was just back end guys and a bunch of ifs. Whereas now you're starting to look at this and say, okay, they need another top half of the rotation guy, whether it's a one, a two, or a three, but I'll buy that guy with Kyle Bradish and with Trevor Rogers as being a kind of a top three that would look okay, look better than okay in an October series. And, you throw Wells in there, you still have Dean Kramer and, go down the list of other guys that are kind of fit into that. That mix, and you say, all right, it still needs some work. Again, definitely one, if not two, starting pitchers they need to go out and get. And the other guy would be, in my mind, more of the the Kyle Gibson back half of the rotation. Not, I don't mean Kyle Gibson, just that model, when they got him 2 3 years ago. So we're going to see how that plays out. The bullpen is still, I mean, who the heck knows, right? I mean, Keegan Aiken's going to be in the bullpen, hopefully not closing games because we've seen how that's kind of gone. But he's a legitimate major league relief pitcher, right? He's just not a closer, I mean, he's miscast right now. Cade Stroud has looked of all these kind of no-name guys that they've called up over the last 2 months, Cade Stroud has acquitted himself well enough to say, hey, I'd go to spring training and pencil him in for one of my last bullpen spots if he has a good spring. Dietrich Enns, you could kind of throw into that same category. But we know they have a ton of work to do on the bullpen. But seeing what Rogers has done and seeing Bradish look the way he's looked, and we talked about this, that man, the Orioles needed this. Because of what happened with John Means, because of what happened with Felix Bautista this year, it's made me look bad because I've pushed back on when we've talked about Tommy John. You've been more skeptical, but I've just tried to present it from a league-wide data standpoint that the return rate from Tommy John is very, very high in this day and age. But when you have a couple bad examples like the Orioles have had recently, then yeah, you do start to have some doubts about what's going on. So to see Bradish look the way that he's looked, to see Tyler Wells look the way that he's looked, understanding that, yes, it's still a small sample, but so far so good in terms of how they felt, how they've looked, how the velocity has looked, how the stuff has looked, it does make you feel better about that aspect of what they need to do this offseason. On the flip side, and you mentioned it, and this is where I'll transition into this, and I don't want to be too long-winded about this, but I found it interesting. I'm going to share two stats with you right now, Nestor. Since the trade deadline, remember, the Orioles traded away their entire bullpen, and we know the bullpen, it maybe hasn't been as bad statistically as I feared it might have been, but it still hasn't been good. We know that.
Well, it's been a
But
tryout,
yeah,
literally, right?
exactly. But right now, as they go into this final week, since the All-Star break in the major leagues, the Orioles are a respectable 11th in team ERA. Now, the rotation has really been a big reason why. But the point is, they've pitched and they've pitched better than we would have expected. Offensively, since the or not since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline, when hey, O'Hearn's gone, Cedric Mullins is gone, Ramon Laureano gone. They're last in the majors in runs scored. I mean, just let that marinate. And I get it. Like there are a couple
That's
times
the worst offense in Major League Baseball
over the last 2 months,
for a
their last
last place team.
with a young core that. And look, I know there's still been
That's
injuries.
supposed to be the strong side of the ball,
I get it. And people will
right?
say, well, Adley hasn't played and Westberg noted. That's not me saying I expect them to be number one in the league then because of what I just said. But last, I'm going to continue to say it, man. They will talk about their injuries. Noted. Injuries absolutely were a massive part of what happened to this ball club in 2025. There's no question around that. That's not an excuse. That's reality when you have as many injuries as they had. We will talk about Mike Elias's offseason and the failure of the rotation early on that put them in a hole where they were 16 and 34 through their first 50 games. I mean, it was over before Memorial Day. We'll talk about that, and that's part of it. No question about it. This young core has been a failure this year. I mean, it just has been. There's no need to sugarcoat it. These guys are professionals. It's been a failure. Now, I'm not trying to pick on any one individual, but as a collective group, knowing that this team deliberately was bad for multiple years to draft these guys early and that Mike Elias built everything around this young core, they were a colossal disappointment this year. And really, all of them, save for Beavers coming up and doing what he's done, which has been the most encouraging development out of anyone on a position player front. Basayo, it's still such a small sample for him. Jackson Holliday grading on a curve. He's trending up compared to where he was last year. He's still not where he needs to be. Gunnar Henderson hasn't had a bad year in a vacuum, but relative to what you need him to be, it's been disappointing. Adley Rutschman for a second straight year has you asking, like, what's happened to this guy? Jordan Westberg, his production's not bad, but he can't stay on the field. Kolton Cowser's been a massive disappointment. Heston Kjerstad, we don't even talk about it anymore. And again, I want to be sensitive to whatever issues he's dealing with that this club will not talk about publicly, which leads you to believe that it's more than just, a typical baseball injury. But you kind of just go down the list, and it's like these are the guys that are supposed to be leading the way, and they've been a colossal disappointment. So everything that Mike Elias needs to do this offseason on the pitching side, in terms of hiring a manager and a coaching staff, reshaping the front office.
Well, there's no question about who's in charge, right? He's not getting fired a week from now, right?
At least not right now,
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
Yeah. I
he's
mean, a
running the
year from
joint,
now.
and he made all. He is. He's Bill Parcells. He's in the grocery store picking the ingredients, right?
But this is going to be me, and I'm not alone in this. There are people that were saying this before me, where I was a little more skeptical about this. They need to go out and get a couple bats, because if you are counting on this young core to lead the way to the d extent that they're going to need, because, even with all of the optimism with the rotation with Bradish and what Rogers has done, what Wells has looked like in his first few starts back, we're not talking about a pitching staff that's going to be, one of the best in baseball next year. But certainly, you have optimism that it can be better. If I mean, they're going to figure out how to build a bullpen. I mean, that's going to be really interesting to see how that's going to play out. But this offense, I mean, PU, it's not nearly good enough. I mean, the runs, I think they're second, and they have the second worst strikeout rate over the last 2 months of the season. Where only the
Well, that's not shocking, right? That's form. That's what these guys have been to some degree, right?
to a point, but not
I mean,
really.
I look at Kobe Mayo and I think he's Dave Kingman without the home runs.
But
And
that
that, dude,
see
that's
that
a
but
that's
that's part of the prop but that's part of the problem. And not to pick on Mayo, and he's someone I didn't mention. Look, Mayo's played, he's had everyday playing time for 2 months. And let me be clear, if you're going to ask me in a big picture sense if I still am a believer that Kobe Mayo can figure it out and become a good major league hitter, yes. However, I'm starting to have my doubts if it's going to be on the timeline that's going to align with where this franchise needs to be, with only 3 more years of Gunnar Henderson control left, right? I mean, only a couple more years of Adley Rutschman control left. The fact that they need to win now, right?
And
This
also
isn't
thinking that it was going to replace Mountcastle's best day, right? Whatever that is, that it was going to be a
Mountcastle's not that
25-30.
good. Mountcastle's not that good. I mean, what he was four
I
years ago,
that on his best day, that he was going to be a
Sorry.
25 to 28 home run guy, hit 251, drive in 80 runs, be a middling first base statistic guy, not necessarily 42 home runs or Santander, but thinking it could get there. They think all of these guys could get there. I mean, other than
And
maybe Westberg, they believe all of these guys are 25 to 40 home run, 100 RBI. I think they believed all of them could walk maybe 60 to 90 times somewhere in there, but they would all strike out 100, right?
I mean, I think the walk piece maybe I'd push back on, because I mean, I don't see anything in their philosophy that emphasizes that. I mean, Beavers is the exception. Right now, if you're going to ask me to fill out my 2026 lineup, Beavers is going to be my leadoff hitter,
Well,
in
to
my
your point,
mind.
there's no statistical evidence to
But
show that any of these guys have any pedigree to walk more or strike out less,
I mean,
right?
there are a couple guys, but it hasn't been nearly enough of an emphasis. Now, I will say this, because I want to say this in the interest of fairness. Despite the fact that, as I said, over the last 2 months of the season, they've been last in the majors in runs scored, they actually are sixth in walk rate, but they're 29th in strikeout rate. Only the Angels have struck out at a more frequent clip than them. But, the power hasn't been there. So, and look, the coaching definitely factors into this. This is why I don't want to hear about any, and I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't want to hear any notion of, because they've played marginally better since firing Brandon Hyde. And they have, right? I mean, they're what, going into this final week, they're 8 games over 500 from the time that they were what, 18 under in late May, you know? I mean, okay, like whoop-de-doo, right? I mean, they've been better. I think we all thought at the time that they weren't truly going to be a 110 loss team in terms of talent, right? Which is where they were trending at that point in time. So I think we all expected them to play better, but that's where I look at this and say, you need a new manager. You need all new coaches. That's not to say that all these coaches are inept. I think you just need fresh eyes and fresh minds on this group because they're supposed to be really talented, right? I mean, it's one thing to look at the pitching staff going into the season and saying that rotation isn't good enough on paper. It's another thing to look at these highly touted prospects that you've held on to and you didn't trade them for known commodities with a couple exceptions. But it hasn't come together, right? And these guys have not been very good, or they've had injury issues. Like it's just, they've got to figure that out because I'm sorry, if they don't have a higher percentage of this young core to figure it out and become the guys that they need them to become, and it doesn't mean 100%, but it needs to be a higher rate than it is right now, then this isn't going to work. Like, okay. Will they be better next year? Sure. Like, I'll buy that. But being better and being a fringe wild card, that's not what the rebuild was supposed to be. The rebuild was supposed to be that you had a chance to build something that had a really serious chance of winning a World Series at
Well, they
some
were
point in
bragging
time.
about how many 1-1s they had, which
Yeah.
basically is bragging about
How bad you
how
were.
shitty you are. Yeah, I mean, how many 1-1s you going to put together, and then they have to blossom, right?
Yeah. Well, and the point and what's funny about that is, I mean, you didn't have to be a one, and let's be clear, 2019, 2018, they weren't deliberately trying to get the number one pick. That we know that Adley Rutschman was the result of the Duquette era cratered at the end, right? They actually, they signed Alex Cobb and wanted to try to win a wild card that year. So we understand that year. But what's ironic about this is the guys that you're feeling the best about right now. As we're winding down the 2025 season, I still put Gunnar Henderson at the top of the list. Gunnar wasn't a 1-1. Jordan Westberg, if he can stay healthy, but he wasn't a 1-1. Dylan Beavers wasn't a 1-1, right? So when you talk in terms of, being bad, staying bad in 2020 and or 19 and 20 and 21, and that you look at the 1-1s, I mean, Rutschman, I mean, where the heck? Where the heck is he in his career at this point in time? Jackson Holliday has taken a step, but man, I'm hoping there's at least a couple more steps with from where he is right now. Otherwise, is that really a 1-1 that's dramatically moving the needle? So, man, there's a lot that needs to happen on the coaching front. And quite frankly, this isn't JV baseball. These are professionals, right? These guys. Even when you're making the minimum, you're still being paid very handsomely in Major League Baseball. These guys got to figure this out because this is way below the bar. And if there was something I wanted to take away from the final 2 months of the season beyond Bradish coming back and Wells coming back and Trevor Rogers continuing to do his thing, what did I say it was? It was wanting to see the young core trending in the right direction. There's not nearly enough of that going on right now. Beavers, yes. Seeing Basayo get some big hits, even if his numbers overall still aren't very good, I'm fine with that, right? But Colton Cowser, I mean, 2 months ago we were trying to see if he was going to be the everyday center fielder. Now I'm starting to question whether he should be an everyday player or does he need to be a platoon guy? I mean, that's how much he's how
Dude, if you're a
disappointing
platoon
he's
guy
been.
and you're 26, what are you, right?
Well. Nah, I'll disagree with that. There's a lot of that. I mean, the Yankees platoon guys, the Blue Jays platoon guys, there's more of that than you think in modern baseball. But the point is, compared to where you thought he was going to be when he was second in Rookie of the Year last year, man, it hasn't gone in a good direction. So, to go, you mentioned Cobie Mayo, and I just said this in passing. Look, if this were 2021, and the Orioles were still perceived to be a couple years away from contending, then I'd be fine with saying, all right, Kobe, go get him. Go out there and you're going to start 145 games at first base and you're going to figure it out. Is this team really in a position where they can afford to give him everyday at bats when you're already going to be doing that with Samuel Bassaio, who, you know, has been extended, and I still feel really good about Bassaio big picture wise, but I don't think you can do that with two spots. Like, I don't think you can do that with first base and DH. So that's where I kind of look at this thing and say, you absolutely need an outfielder because, okay, Beaver's at one spot, Calzer at one spot, even though, like I said, I mean, I'm starting to wonder if he's a guy that you're going to have to sit against lefties because he struggles so much. Tyler O'Neill, yeah, if he's healthy, he'll be in the lineup, but you can't count on that for more than maybe 100 games at best. And that's going off of his more favorable years of his track record. So you need an outfielder, but I kind of look at how they're constructed. You know, I'm not really interested in seeing Ryan Mountcastle back on an everyday basis for what he's going to make in his final year of arbitration. And Cobie Mayo just hasn't taken advantage of the opportunity nearly enough. So I'd argue I think you need a first baseman. Now, will the Orioles agree with that? You know, I don't know nearly enough as a Major League Baseball analytics department in a front office that certainly thinks they know everything. So we'll see. But man, to bring it back full circle, and then we can, you know, pivot to another talking point. I'll continue to say it, and because I've said it since April, this offense was a colossal disappointment, and in my mind, a way bigger disappointment than the pitching in 2025.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get some back to football happening. Sunday football, Monday night football, Ravens on the field, Nnamdi Madubuike injury, who's going to rush the passer, all that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Don't say we ignore the Orioles. Katie, we're here for you. Mr. Rubenstein, we still like baseball.